Hi everyone. Welcome to, well, this isn't Talk Tech with Data Dave. This is Whiskey in the Cloud with Patrick Walsh. Yes, it's another Talk Tech Takeover episode. Dave is taking a summer break for some much needed rest and relaxation and, like, frankly, to do his real job. So I'm bringing in some very special guests to talk with me about all kinds of things that are all about the cloud, the data, the AI, and the all things D3 Clarity. So today I have with me Patrick Walsh. You guys have seen him before on Talk Tech with Data Dave, but today we're talking about whiskey in the sky, or maybe more specifically, the cloud. We're doing a nightcap podcast. If you have a question for Data Dave, reach out to us at talktech@d3clarity.com. We'll be happy to answer your question in the podcast. Thanks. Talk Tech with Data Dave is proudly brought to you by D3 Clarity, your partner in AI, data, and cloud innovation. At D3 Clarity, we offer industry-leading solutions designed to transform your business and drive lasting success. From tailored consulting services to cutting-edge technology strategies, we're here to take your operations to the next level. Ready to unlock your tech potential? Learn more at d3clarity.com. Cheers.
Nightcap, cheers. Clinky, clinky, drinky, drinky.
Yeah. I kind of took for granted that Patrick would be drinking whiskey because I know Patrick, but what are you actually drinking this evening, sir?
I am drinking a very delightful Buffalo Trace out of Frankfort, Kentucky. Yep, that's what I'm sipping on tonight.
That is a delightful whiskey. I'm a calorie conscious person, and so I tend to avoid alcohol. So my nightcap is Sierra Nevada Hop Splash. It's a nice hop water. It's the citrus flavor. And so I like to put a little fresh grapefruit in it. The entire
is
thing
that
is like 20 calories. I love it.
Is that alcohol? You said hop
No.
water. So is it? No, it's just
totally alcohol free. Just carbonated water that is made with, it says, I don't know, it's made with hops. Not a sponsor, but would recommend to anyone who likes hoppy things and is interested in a delicious non-alcoholic beverage.
Not a sponsor.
Not a
yet.
Sponsor. Could be. Sierra Nevada, give me a call. When I did drink alcohol, I drank a lot of Sierra Nevada too, so I would bring it on. Let's talk cloud, because that's
okay,
what we're here for.
Yeah, let's do it.
Okay. So in true talk tech style, I do have a cloud question for you, but it's really, really specific to you because you are our security guy. We've talked about it before on the pod, but you are our security guy for all things cloud. We're really into AWS right now. And lately you have been doing a lot of AWS security scans for a lot of clients. I know this because I run the bills and I keep seeing like security scan, security scan, security scan. And I'm like, oh, Patrick Walsh is doing the things. He's doing everything. So I was hoping that you could share with our listeners the three things that you're seeing over and over again. Like, what are the three most common issues that you're seeing in those security scans? My thought being that those could be easy wins for our listeners to just go check their system and make sure that they've hit those three markers. And then we can talk a little bit about what those security scans look like, and then maybe even what we can do to help some of our listeners if they're interested in some additional help. So we'll get to that fun part later. Let's just talk about the main question. What would you say are the three big ones?
I'll do the three most common ones when I get on the phone with a client. I literally ask them a few simple questions, and then I realize that they are using the default configuration that AWS provides, which is not secure in itself.
Which is really interesting to me, right? That like by default, it's not really that secure.
Well, they've taken steps recently. But what happens is people have an idea and they go, oh, well, I need to launch my idea and make a proof of concept. And all of a sudden the proof of concept becomes production. And then we get into the place where we're at. But the top three, I'm going to go with no MFA enabled on the root account for said AWS accounts.
Okay, so before we go on, what does root account mean?
So when you create a AWS account, you put in your email address, and that email address becomes the root user, which means it's the super admin user. It's the owner account, if that makes it easier to understand. It's the owner of the account. And a lot of people still use that to log in, which is mind-blowing for me. So anyway, I would say that would be the number one. Or if they are not using the root account to log in every day to do work, then they could be using an administrator account that does not have a MFA token assigned to it. I would say that's the biggest one I see all the time. A lot of times it's opposite. They'll have a bunch of users and all the users will have MFA, but the root account still doesn't have an MFA ready to give to it. So you just go, guys,
Why?
you kind of missed the most important one. And I can get into some horror stories later, but that would be number one.
Those are easy wins, right? Set up your
Easy
MFA
wins.
for your root account, and if you have a root account, don't use that as your everyday user account. Like, set up a separate user account for you to use and keep that as your super admin. Okay, easy wins there. Love it.
You really actually, once you create the account, there's very few things that you need to log into the root account for. Unless you're changing contact information on your account, you don't need that. You don't need to
Oh,
use it.
okay.
You should store it in a secure location and put an MFA on it and tuck it away so the world can't find it.
Okay. I love that.
The number two is people will launch EC2 servers, or
Okay,
really,
EC2, Elastic Container.
nah, it's Elastic Container. It's basically a virtual machine. They'll launch virtual
Okay.
machines. And this is not just in AWS, this is in Azure as well. We've seen this play out across both of those clouds. They'll just launch a server and put it on the internet publicly because they're serving a website. And the website needs to be reached from the internet, right? But then they also leave open the RDP, which is Remote Desktop Protocol for Windows, or they'll leave open SSH or database ports. They'll leave those open for the world. So that would be the number two. When we find this, we go, guys, you are just a password guess away from being taken over. Not really a funny story, but it is a story nonetheless. We had a client 2 weeks ago. He calls us up. He goes, hey, my application, he had a mobile application running on a virtual machine. He goes, it just stopped working. I don't know why. So I go, okay, well, let me go take a look. So I go in and I look, and luckily he had some security tools on that were monitoring the environment. And I looked at his security group and I could already tell exactly what was going on. He had SSH port 22 open to the world, and he got brute force attacked, and passwords were guessed and usernames were guessed, and his server got turned into a Bitcoin mining server.
Oh no.
So a word of caution to our listeners, if you have a virtual machine out on the internet, you should pull it off the internet and put it behind like a firewall or load balancer or something, because
Yeah.
and this client had security groups wide open. Would have never believed how common it is that people just like, oh, just leave it wide open. And they do. And people get taken advantage of all the time. So,
Well, yeah, because like I think, oh, my application needs to be out there for the world to be able to access it. Like, I need them. I want them to be able to use it. I want them to be able to handle my mobile app and be able to deal with it. But the little things like, oh, no, I don't want them to be able to get in there and turn it into a Bitcoin mining machine. Like, goodness gracious, that's
So,
terrible. I shouldn't be laughing. I'm sorry. This is what we get for doing a
well,
podcast at 8 o'clock at night. That's
right?
my bedtime, man. Like,
Well,
it's dark outside. I'm ready to go to sleep. Go ahead.
imbibing. So generally the solution that we recommend is, number one, if you're using default VPC or virtual network or whatever, depending on your platform, just don't use that. And build your own that follows best practices, which is a layered approach, and it's subnetted out, and you put a NAT gateway in there to protect your resources. And then, well, the NAT gateway is used for the egress. I don't want to have people think I'm an idiot. Anyway,
Yeah, that's a
the
lot of
NAT
stuff
gateway.
that I, yeah. I believe that you know what you're talking about.
Yeah. Anyway, use a load balancer or a CDN in front of your server, whether it's serving up content or whether it's a data server behind, use some sort of interface there. And then there's application firewalls. If it's just simple serving web content, you can put a WAF in front of it. Even for API servers or API gateways or anything like that, I've seen the same problem there. They're wide open and people take advantage of these APIs and go data mining. So protect your virtual machines. Don't leave them open to the public. Only allow the traffic that should be going through there. And then the third major thing I see is no one ever logs anything. Like, there's no network logging, can't tell what traffic's hitting. There's no logs against the server. There's no logs against the application. No one turns logging on. And
so logging, like in layman's terms, is just something that keeps track of what's going on, right?
Yeah. So for example, let's talk VPC flow logs. Flow logs allow me to go look at the network card on the virtual machine, and I can see all the traffic coming in and out. And you can see the actual IPs hitting the server. And at that point, you can go and see, are these legit IPs? Are these legit calls? You can look up the port numbers that they're calling on. It's very handy to see, especially if you get a client that says, hey, my application server is running slow or whatever, right? And you go dig through the application server and you find out, well, I can't find anything crazy with the application server. We step it back a layer and you dig into the network and you find out, oh, there's 5,000 IPs coming in from Singapore or China or Russia or whatever. They're just beating the server up. Having the logs, it leaves the clues behind. So if you're calling for help or you need help or whatever, people can have a, we'll call it breadcrumb trail, that they can follow and determine what's going on. So those are my three bigs.
My personal story with logs is like the IP story that you just told, just a little bit backwards. I play our M365 administrator because I mostly just help another guy, does most of the hard work for us. But once in a while, we get hit with these like suspicious activity alerts where I'm like, oh, somebody just tried to log into Patrick's account. Where did that come from? And thank goodness for my other guy who handles all that stuff for us. He has the logs enabled and we can go in and I can see the IP address of where it hit from. And then I just send Patrick a quick message. Hey, Patrick, is this your IP address? Did you just log in from here? And he's like, oh yeah, I'm traveling today, Alexis. No big deal. And I'm like, oh, thank goodness. Because one time I was at a conference and I got a, oh, hey, Patrick account just tried to get from Russia. Patrick's not in Russia. Patrick's in Texas. Luckily, everything worked. Everything stopped it from happening. But like the log showed us that we had a suspicious activity and that it was not coming from Patrick. And we were able to flag that really, really quickly. So highly recommend, if that's something easy to turn on, people go turn that crap on. It's a good idea. Yeah. It's very, very helpful. And I mean, I hear it. Like, there's a reason why I still manually edit this podcast, and it's because I don't want to spend the money to purchase a platform that'll do the editing for me, and I don't want to pay somebody to do the editing for me. So I manually do it. And like, I hear it and I get it, but there's a difference between me spending a couple of hours editing a podcast and us putting people's personal information out there for the world to see, or me leaving my ports open for somebody to turn into a Bitcoin mining site. Like, there's a little bit of a difference there between the two. So I get it, but like, there's a place where the line gets drawn, and it's worth it. Turn on those logs, guys. Come on.
Turn the logging on, guys. Turn on the logging. Yeah. Let's close those unused ports. Let's let's put some MFA in place. Yeah.
Yes.
Yeah. Those are all
authentication. Yes.
Yeah. 2FA, MFA. All of it.
If you listened to the podcast, go look at your stuff and go see if any of those apply to you. And then hopefully take steps to fix those. We would appreciate that. Just for because sure. Like, we're trying to educate the public. That is the big point of the podcast here. We are doing a summer of shameless plugs. I kind of started that on accident a couple of weeks ago. And so now we're just kind of sticking to it. So I started the podcast by saying, Patrick, you're doing a lot of these security scans. So tell me what those security scans look like. What does that mean? If a listener is like, hey, would be interested in one of those security scans, like, what would they get out of it?
Oh, well, It would get amazing information. Let me tell you,
Everything. That's why
it
it's
would get everything.
shameless. Yes.
I've had CTOs and CIOs and go, well, what am I getting for this? I'm like, well, okay, first of all, you get a full scan of your entire AWS environment. So if you're using organizations or you're using a single AWS account or whatever the situation is, we scan every single account and it covers from your identity, your IAMs, your whether you're running CloudTrail logs, security groups, all your S3 buckets, like it covers everything. And it also provides compliance scans. So if you're trying to be HIPAA compliant, if you're trying to be NIST 800-53 compliant, if your compliance is GovCloud, the tools that we use provide compliance reports for all of those things. The standard scan we get is a CIS 3.0 standard. So it covers everything. Every time I do a scan, I get probably, I think the worst one was over like 24,000 problems. And the best one was like 3,000 somewhere in there problems that needed to be fixed. Some of them are critical. And so there's a scale. There's the critical, the high, the medium, the low, the informational. It picks up all of that stuff. We do that scan and it basically just dumps raw data. So I take that raw data and I create basically a C-level report that says we found this many criticals, this many highs, mediums, lows, informationals. You get it kind of bullet pointed there. And then we go through the about the top 10 of each critical, high, mediums. The lows and the informational, I kind of leave off because by the time I get there, it's overwhelming. You're on
Yeah, I was going to
page,
say 3,000. Yeah, I can see why you might
Well,
opt
but
not to use those.
you also got to remember. So say you have 20 serverless functions that have secrets in the environment variables instead of using Secrets Manager on AWS, for example. So you'll see 20 line items, one for each Lambda function that's violating the standard.
Oh,
So
okay.
those 20, line items, I'll summarize and go, you have 20 Lambda functions that are
Right.
not using Secrets Manager. So I'll consolidate it down and I usually put the most, obviously the critical, the highs and the mediums in there. So they get that. Additionally, while I'm in there, I put together a architecture diagram that shows the entire organization, all the VPCs, what resources are in the VPCs, what resources are not in the VPCs. It's funny. The clients that we do this for, they're like, this is amazing. I didn't even know we had all this stuff out there. This is great. And the reason why they don't know that stuff's out there is, and they're like, why is my bill $20,000 a month? How come? And
Right.
they talk to the developers, the developers like, oh, we need all this stuff. But when you draw it out, like it's a huge diagram that we put together. And it shows all the network connectivity and it shows all the ports and it shows public IPs, private IPs, and all the IDs of every resource in there. They get that C-level report, plus they get the raw data scan that the tools come up with. And we said, here you go.
Yep, package
And
it all up, put it in a pretty easy to read bow and hand it over.
And I've done this for several clients, and several clients have said it's not just the security scan or whatever that they're like, this is awesome. But they take the diagrams, they're like, this is the best thing ever because now I can see they have a bird's eye view of their entire environment and they can go, oh, we're working in this section and we're working in this section. Or why do we have this and why do we have that? And they have something they can reference and talk cost reduction and talk, do we really need stuff like this? And can we implement like turning things off in our development environment and just do some cost saving stuff as well? The other thing that usually comes out of that is we do well-architected reviews with everybody, right? Which is if you're saying we're doing shameless plugs, well-architected
That's another
framework
one to slide
review.
in there.
We're going to throw the wafer in there.
Love the wafer. Yep. Shout out to Allison there.
So, which is basically you have the six pillars that the AWS says, is well architected. And we review against that. And the security is one pillar, but then You bring the architecture diagram in and you go, look, guys, we can modify this, that, the other, and we can improve your operations, we can improve your performance, we can improve reliability, all of the things that are part of the well-architected framework. So when you say it's a security scan, it's not just a security scan, it's a security scan, it's recommendations, and here is an entire architecture diagram for your environment. And then the pages of like, here's how we would re-architect, here's how, or not necessarily re-architect, here's how I would fix things, here's how we can improve your security posture on the internet, and here's how we can set you up for a successful infrastructure going forward.
We are going to offer a special promo with this podcast. And so, if anyone
Ooh.
wants to refer to the Whiskey in the Cloud with Patrick Walsh Nightcap podcast and request a security scan, we'll offer you 50% off what your security scan rate would normally be. This has been fun. I feel like I've learned something. I feel like hopefully our listeners have learned something. I've definitely learned that my bedtime is set for a specific time for a reason. So I'm gonna go probably to sleep very soon, but I did promptly finish my cocktail on time, so I am good to go.
Pretty
Yeah.
close, pretty close.
Well, cheers, Patrick. I hope you have a good night. And listeners out there, if you have a question, you can always reach out to us at talktech@d3clarity.com. Happy summer. Happy summer Talk Tech Takeover. And till next time.
Yeah. Thanks, guys.
If you have a question for Data Dave, reach out to us at talktech@d3clarity.com. We'll be happy to answer your question in the podcast. Thanks. Talk Tech with Data Dave is proudly brought to you by D3 Clarity, your partner in AI, data, and cloud innovation. At D3 Clarity, we offer industry-leading solutions designed to transform your business and drive lasting success. From tailored consulting services to cutting-edge technology strategies, we're here to take your operations to the next level. Ready to unlock your tech potential? Learn more at d3clarity.com.